You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
In the Octagon, out in San Francisco, Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle.
Do you like not care about your hygiene? Is that what we're hearing here?
I'm actually an obsessive hand washer.
Or maybe the best team in the MLS.
Wait a minute. No, Cashman, that's wrong.
Why?
Because, no, that's absolutely wrong.
That's why he's here.
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC Channel 85 and MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me, Dave Goss, Matt the Armchair Analyst Doyle. Thousands of feet above the air, flying back to San Francisco. I hope that you enjoyed our decision day. I'm sorry, hashtag decision day coverage. It was a wild Sunday and something's at the door. Something's scratching. There's something mean on the other side of this door. What?
Are you ready, comedy partner? Waka waka.
Waka waka. What? That's
it's the bear call.
That sounds like a bear call. The
Fozzie bear.
Yeah, bear. Hey, what's up?
That was
man?
The most ferocious bear call I could find on the internet.
Oh,
that's just about the ferociousness that I am. That I live my life.
You are Fozzie bear. Yeah.
You're bringing that type of ferocity. That means that we have him in here for some numbers action. We'll get to that in just a second. I believe it's Supporters Shield related, but we have a big show for you here as we head into the knockout round of the Audi MLS Cup playoffs. As I said, decision day is over. The playoff field is set. The Red Bulls are Supporters Shield winners. Jovinko won the Audi Golden Boot. Any other news basics we should hit before we jump in depth?
Jovinko also won the assist title, becoming the first player in MLS history to win the Golden Boot and the assist title.
Why we have the research bear in here. That's why we got him. Look, let's just jump into
also,
it.
Also, other note, Decision Day is awesome.
Decision Day was awesome.
We should do that.
I was.
Apparently, Simon told someone that we should do it every week.
I was a big doubter.
Yeah.
And I had many quasi-yelling matches with Simon about it.
Because you're a wet noodle.
Right. And then he was, wait, I disagreed to that too quickly. I don't agree. And then he was right. So he can have that. That's on the record. It is what it is. The Red Bulls are Supporters Shield champions. 2-1 winners against the Chicago Fire out there at Toyota Park. That curse is over. There's a lot of curses involved with this team. They finally did it. They finally won in Chicago. Red Bulls fans have known for a long time that they hadn't done it. I'm just going to say it. I predicted that one way back in the day. Everybody doubted me. I got that one right. So,
what'd you predict?
I predicted the Red Bulls would win the Shield, and they would
do it
on the final
day.
When
they were already winning the Supporters
preseason?
Shield?
And they would do it on the final day in Chicago, too. Look, I was right. Either way, Ali Curtis, Jesse Marsh, year one. They win the Shield. A big one for them. A funny note after this one, I saw in the celebrations, Jesse Marsh holding the Shield in the locker room said, look, I come to work every day at an ungodly hour, and one thing motivates me. And that's the notion or the vision of Dax McCarty lifting trophies. Well, they got one. They still have another one in the offing. They're the first seed overall. They're the first seed out east.
We should commission a portrait of Dax lifting trophies to put in Jesse Marsh's
foyer.
We
actually should. That's not a bad idea. Hey, we got artists out there.
I think that's
a
Kickstarter.
Yeah, let's open up a Kickstarter. It's for the good of the people.
We were maybe going to get that one for free. Now it's not going to happen. give me some context here, Ben. Tell me about this season, where it fits into the grand scheme of Supporters Shield campaigns in the past.
The Red Bulls had a great season. There's no doubting that, but I wouldn't say it's one of the best seasons we've seen. Last year we saw Seattle go on and win 20 games. Red Bulls are only at 18. There's really a couple of stats I like to look at with this. It's wins. It's goal differential. The goal differential was 19, which is the best since probably the greatest regular season team of all time. And what I like to call the MLS modern era, which is since 2000. That was the Quakes. They were plus 29 in goal differential.
Wow.
They were 19.
You remember, they had a lot of those
games.
They just scored an unreal amount of
goals. The Red Bulls had a great season. They won 82 games. They were plus 19 goal differential. I wouldn't say it's one of the best seasons of all time.
Now, 18 wins, though, is that average? Is that on the higher end? Not saying it's the best ever, but where?
It's about average the past 5 years. 2010, when LA won, 18 wins. 2011, 19 wins. 12, 19 wins, 2013, 17 wins. Last year, Seattle, 20
So
wins.
This is better than their other Supporters Shield, though, title.
Yes. It's better with wins, and it's better with goal differential. They actually had more losses this year, less ties.
Okay.
But, more wins, better goal differential than 2013.
Oh, yeah, a massive victory for the Red Bulls. Dave, is it cheapened at all by being in the East? Because people,
no.
I saw some stuff on Twitter. I mean, look, they did get to play.
Oh, really? There were trolls on Twitter. I can't imagine that's where you'd find them. That's outrageous. There's no such thing as any cheap championship. First of all, especially the Supporters Shield, where it takes months of play.
Right.
And everyone's on the same level. You're going to say that the West is that much superior to the East, I think, is ridiculous. They were clearly – they were the only team, I think, that for large parts of the season were always in the conversation as the best team in MLS. There were moments when LA was in that conversation. Vancouver, FC Dallas, DC United, New York, from the moment they started on the – right, they were the last undefeated team in MLS. They have always been in that conversation, and that's because – they were the most consistent across the season.
Yeah, huge congratulations to the Red Bulls. One thing I didn't mention in the intro there, I got so distracted by Fozzie Bear and the Waka Waka. Two great guests on this show, Lee Wynn, who's coming up in just a second, and Stefan Fry of the Seattle Sounders, who'll be up in just a second as well. Remember, you can go to MLSsoccer.com for that full schedule of knockout round games. There's some good ones. Wednesday night's going to start with DC United, New England. Then that'll be followed by Seattle, LA Galaxy. That's the one we're drooling about, I think, universally. That one's on Wednesday night. We'll talk to Stefan about that one. Then on Thursday, it is Montreal, Toronto FC, and the Portland Timbers and Sporting Kansas City. One team not in that mix, well, that is the Columbus Crew, and that's because they shellacked, they waxed, they smashed DC United.
Dominated.
DeGrominated. Don't even start there. Don't even start there. Look, 5-0. This was
unbelievable.
A terrible performance from DC. But this is the Crew at their best, and without Kai Kamara, and without Federico Iwobi.
Yeah. It's insane that they were a bit more direct at times in this game. Ethan Finley was on another level. I mean, the things he did to Taylor Kemp, I think might
call
be illegal.
Call him up.
Yeah, might be illegal in Ohio. He was phenomenal. The team, they attack with their fullbacks. What they basically did was dropped Will Trapp in as a third center back.
Which they've been doing since the start of 2014.
Right, but Will Trapp hasn't been there this season has been the issue. He's been gone, he's been in, he's been out. But it allows their fullbacks to push higher. They did it even more this game because Justin Miram was able, basically pinched in and played Higuain's role. And so Waylon Francis was playing that wing by himself. So in 1 week, we saw them play a pragmatic style and win at Toronto, and then we saw them play what you would think is the peak of a classic Columbus Crew game at home.
DC United will host New England on Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., Unimas, TSN 2, let's see, I think there's some more here, yeah, CSN New England as well. DC's still figuring out whether they'll have a local affiliate, so if you're in those markets, you can still catch it. Do they have a chance here, Ben? Do they have a chance? Because Ben Olsen, I know Ben Olsen was like, we'll go home and do this. But look, that's tough. That's a tough loss, and it seems like they're on a downhill trajectory.
I've watched more DC games than almost anybody over the past 3 years, 4 years, I would say. Whenever you think they're down, they come right back up, and they're going to be there. They've only lost 3 games at home all year. New England hasn't exactly been playing their best soccer over the past couple
months. Actually were on a four-game winless slide there before this one against New York City. So, I mean,
a win in NYC is not like putting a lot of like verve in my
it's the attacking funhouse. It's what like breaks people out of slumps.
Exactly. So my pick would be the Revs, but I'm not counting the DC out, even though they look like garbage. I'm going to say.
They did. I think
yesterday.
Yeah, I think Ben Olsen agreed on that one.
I'm picking the New England Revolution.
Okay. I'm probably going New England as well. Remember,
it's going to be the popular pick, but don't be surprised.
Don't be surprised. That's MLS for you. The moment DC loses 5-0, they're going to go right to the cup. So we'll see what happens. Montreal is my dark horse pick that's not so dark anymore for MLS Cup out East. A 2-1 victory at home, a sold-out Stade Saputo. Toronto FC gets an early lead in this one via Jozy Altidor. Jovinko gets the assist. They have pressure on the impact. It looks like they're probably going to win this and get to host that playoff game. Not with Didier in the house. A back heel, a second goal. I'm just calling an outrageous flick. I don't think it was a back heel. He's now got 11 goals in 11 games, 9 starts. He changed this league.
Right.
I mean, I think you can go that far. You can say,
someone said to me yesterday, which is really funny, is about 2-3 years ago when there was rumors about him coming, people said he might be too old. Imagine if he'd come at that time. I mean, the guy would have scored 100 goals in 4 years. Yeah, I was talking to a TFC fan today, and so what do you do to change this? And they say, stop Drogba. There's nothing else they can do. They're going to have to find a way to outscore them. I think that's the only answer.
The problem that TFC has is that they don't really have a physical presence on the back line at all. Without Perkis.
A little soft.
I mean, honestly, so they've been playing Kantari and Josh Williams. Zavaleta had a good run in the middle of the season. He hasn't seen the field in a while, but he's the kind of presence that could maybe, I mean,
but
no one's really challenging Joba right now, but he can maybe
Right, but do you change center backs in the middle of the week going into a playoff game? Does that feel too drastic and throw the team off, I think, is the question for.
Does this actually just come down to two players? I know.
No, I don't think it does because I think they cancel each other out. I think that's the issue.
Piatti and Bradley and Josie.
And then whoever it is for Montreal, if it's Venegas, it's Duca, whoever else has a big game.
Right.
And that's the issue. Toronto always can trump with Giovinco, but they can't trump Drogba right now.
Piatti was the third best player on the field.
Yeah.
So that's why they won.
He gets his head down sometimes. He hit the crossbar on a shot. Yeah, he's not always the most attentive when it comes to passing to teammates, but he's a guy that you certainly would pay to watch. New England also, when we knew that Orlando needed a miracle, they didn't get that miracle against Philly. A disappointing end of the season.
New England scores 2 minutes in, the miracle's over.
Yeah, well, New England handled their business at Yankee Stadium. 3-1 winners. Lee Wynn is on the phone now. He got a goal in this one. How's it going, Lee? Let's bring him on now. Lee Wynn, the playmaker, the number 10 for the New England Revolution. You can follow him on Twitter, at LeeWynn24. A big knockout round game at RFK Stadium on Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. You can catch that one on Unimas SAP. You can catch it in English that way. TSN2, see us in New England there in the local area. Lee, how's it going, man? How do you feel? You're in the playoffs now.
Yeah, it feels great. Obviously, I'm a little relieved to finally get that spot. We still got a job to do Wednesday, and it's not over yet.
So the regular seasons are over. All that's done. You've played your 34 games. You've earned your spot. This year it's the 5 seed. I think it was 3 seed last year. What's different about the postseason? How does it change what you do? Does it change what you do? Do you feel a difference?
No, I mean, obviously, you know, you still have the goal, like, you know, you have that extra spot, to give, and, you know, we knew we needed to be at least top 6, but our goal was always, you know, the same, you know, try to go out there, play game by game, and, try to be the best in the East, and, and then wherever the chips fall, then, at least, you know, you still have, the playoffs, and then once you make it, then, you know, anything goes.
How do you approach a 90-minute winner-take-all game? It's on the road. I mean, a lot of talk is going to be about the strategy, is going to be about how you come out. Do you throw numbers forward? What do you do? Do you change anything? Does the nature of this game change anything?
No, I mean, obviously it's playoff, and you don't have 34 games to make up these points. It's one of the things where you try to be tight and organized as much as possible. But, you know, these past couple of games, it's been playoff atmosphere games for us because, we had to try to get a point or get a win to try to clinch playoffs. And we're going into the same atmosphere or same mentality as this game. You know, got to win in order to keep our season going.
Chris Rolfe on the other side said a little while back, and maybe this just was because D.C. was kind of sinking in the standings, he said they didn't really want to buy, that he thinks you're maybe better off with a midweek game to build momentum. Do you buy that logic? Does that make sense to you, or is that something where you're like, no, we'd much rather get into that two-game series and skip this whole knockout round thing if we could?
No, yeah, 1,000%. I'd rather would have had the week to recover and, obviously prepare for the two-legged game. This is how it goes, and, it's a game that, we got to – obviously, it's a short turnaround. So, we get back, train, and then now it's, off to D.C. tomorrow. So, D.C. obviously is going through the same thing. So, I guess we'll both be on the same level in terms of fitness. And, it's going to be a tough game because we're playing at D.C. D.C. doesn't give much away at home. So, it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds.
How is this game like this for you? I mean, you're a guy in this league that gets a lot of extra attention, a lot of extra guys around you. You get kicked some, and DC under Benny, they kind of have, his personality, his style is certainly rubbed off on that team. And sometimes it feels like they're kind of the master of the dark arts. You know, if you're making that secondary run down the middle of the field, Davey Arnault might get a piece of you and knock you down. I mean, they find a way to make things hard. How do you feel that in a game against DC?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they're very experienced teams. They got a lot of veterans, and they know how to play in these types of games. So they'll make it tough for us for sure. But obviously, we got to stick to our game plan and try to break them down. I think we're rolling on a high right now with our last win, and then hopefully, you know, they're still feeling the effects of the last game, and, you know, hopefully he's at our advantage.
A 5-0 win for Columbus Crew SC against DC United in that season finale. 3-1 win for the Revs against New York City FC. But, Lee, before that it had been four winless for you guys as you were trying to, as you said, get in to maybe the conference semifinals early. This is a team that lost five straight earlier this year, and then they won six straight. It's sometimes hard for people on the outside looking in to figure out the Revs. Give me the case that you guys have. When you look at your team, why is this going to be another year where you make a long run? Why can this team make it to MLS Cup again?
I like the way we're a very streaky team. You know, we have our lulls, but, you know, when we're hot, we're hot. And, when we're feeling it, we can go on a pretty good run, as you said, as you saw last year. So, I think we all felt good about, you know, the last game, and then hopefully, you know, we can use that momentum and, make a big run into the playoffs and hopefully onto the MLS Cup.
Now, I'm not asking you to share any special secrets here. Okay, maybe I am. What is the secret to playoff success here? You did it last year. What did you feel last year? How do you try to replicate that? Is there anything you can do, or is that just a matter of things coming together, form, snowball effect, things like that?
Oh, I don't think it's any secret. We just got to score more goals than the other team.
Buy low, sell high. We're going that route, huh?
Yeah.
All right. No superstitions. No, like, you guys aren't going to do. You guys don't do the playoff beards. I mean, I guess at the Revs, maybe it's more like playoff bleaching. What is there? Anything? Any plans here?
Maybe get a touch up. You know, try to keep it clean, but. We're trying to prepare like any other game, but you know, this game means a lot more than, you know, the past games we played. This could keep our season going. This could end it. So hopefully, we go into DC and then, we're obviously going to give it our all and, we'll see how it goes.
So let's talk about the cup here. Obviously last year, you guys heartbreaking loss in MLS Cup to the Galaxy. And I know that I've spent some time around the Cup. We've had in our offices some, and we've had former players in here, guys who have won it, guys who haven't won it. The guys who haven't won it or who are still playing, who they won't touch the thing. They don't want to be around it. There's something about the trophy itself. Are you a guy that feels that superstition as these playoff starts where you don't want to be around the Cup until you win it? Have you ever touched the Cup? Do you know guys that are like this?
I've heard of it, obviously it makes sense, and for me, I don't mind. I'd rather be able to earn it first before touching it, but, for me, I haven't been close enough to be tempted, so, for us, we're focused on one game at a time right now, because we know if we don't win against DC, there's nothing to look forward to. So right now we just got to take care of business in D.C. on Wednesday, and then we can we're one step closer to the prize.
There you go, one step closer. Teams will be reseeded, of course, after these knockout round games, so not sure yet exactly where you guys would head if you do win. The two teams that are through, of course, are the Red Bulls and the Columbus Crew. One thing you do know is that you won't be facing off against Jovinko, you won't be facing off against Drogba if you get through. I want to ask you about Didier, though, because we saw again last night on decision day, two flicks, one a back heel, the other one people are calling a back heel, but I think was just a really nice deft one off the front of his foot. You lost, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think in this stretch here, Montreal was able to beat you guys twice. What is it about Drogba? What makes him so effective, man? Because I see tweets after games, Zach McMath is like, well, we got Drogba. He's very quickly becoming kind of an MLS legend.
Yeah, like you said, dude's on fire right now, and past 10 games, he's had the scoring touch, and the dude's obviously has a great career. He was already a legend before coming into the league, and so the guy's a tremendous player, and I think he makes his team better in every aspect. So he's definitely a tough player to play one-on-one against. And so, anyone that's trying to match up with Drogba, good luck.
what's the single most difficult thing to deal with about him? Obviously, he's great in the box. His movement is great. But it seems like he just shakes people off. You can't get the ball off him. What's the thing that maybe people don't think about that when you're on the field with the guy, you're like, oh, man, how does he do that every single time?
I think it's just his physical presence. You know, you see him play, you know, all the time in the EPO and whatnot, and, you know, you're like, man, he's strong, and, you know, he's holding off these guys, but then you don't really realize how big and strong he is until you're actually on the field with him. And, yeah, he's a beast. So you can see why he's had a long and successful career, and, you know, and now he's proven his quality once again here in the league.
Drugzilla, I think, is what we're calling him here in the office right now. I mean, he's yeah, good luck shaking him off you. A guy that's not so big, but I think maybe pound for pound the strongest guy in the league, Sebastian Jovinko. Looks like the probable MVP candidate. Kai Kamara came on the crew broadcast on FS1 the other night and said he deserves to be the MVP. I'm giving you a vote. I think you do get a vote as a player, right, Lee? I mean, who are you getting your vote to? You got one guy, MLS, kind of an original here in Kai, and then Jovinko, man, that season, what can you say?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, with Drogba, had he played the whole season, it might have been a different story, but I don't think you can overlook Jovinko with the season he's had and what he's done with Toronto, and then, you know, the dude's been on fire, and I mean, I think he set some kind of record with his goals and assists combined, but I would tip my hat off to him. He's had a tremendous season, and he would earn my vote.
There you go. We got my vote. I voted just a little while ago. Last year, your MVP campaign was pushing. You almost got it done. 18 goals, 5 assists, an incredible season. Another great season for you this year, 7 goals and 10 assists. People will look at those numbers and say, huh, I think something changed. Did something change, or was last year just kind of one of those years where it's, you know, to go with Eddie Johnson, hashtag blessed, hashtag positive vibes, or what's the difference between the two? Is there a difference for you?
No, I think for me, it's all about the production, and it's been the same. So whether it's goals or assists, that's my job, you know, to create chances. And last year's it was goals, and I felt like I had more looks. And this year, you know, they tend to try to key down on me a little bit more, and so that left other players open, and it was my job that I had to find them. You know, sure. And not only that, but, you know, finding them, and then they're also able to finish it, which helped as well. So, you know, overall, the teams, I think, you know, we're doing well, and the chemistry is on point right now, and so hopefully we can, you know, keep it rolling.
I know it's a hard comparison here, but when you look at last year's team and you look at this year's team, I know not a ton of changes, some changes for you guys, though, certainly. Which one do you think is I don't know, this is a tough one. Is a better team, is a team better equipped? I mean, it's hard to say. You guys went to the MLS Cup last year. How can you – the only way to do better than that is to win the thing, right?
Yeah, you can say that. I mean, our team is the – like you said, we return basically almost the whole team, all the starters, and – you know, obviously chemistry wise, and we've gotten better as a core, but, you know, so has every other team in the league. So you can't just say, you know, our team is just as good as last year. You know, everybody's improved as well. And so, it's a new year, it's a new season. And then, you know, we're trying to compete and bring back the cup to New England. So, you know, hopefully we can do that this year. We were knowing that we were that close last year.
Tough one to know that. The 5 seed out in the Eastern Conference playoffs Wednesday. You can catch them against DC United at RFK Stadium, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Unimas TSN 2 if you want to watch that one. It's also on local affiliates. Check all the listings there at MLSsoccer.com. One more before we get you out of here, Lee. We've got Jermaine Jones saying that the U.S. hasn't really had a number 10 and that you're definitely that. And I think we can all see that in you. We can see some of the brightness that you brought to some of these recent games as well. Where do you feel like you stand right now at the U.S.? What has Jurgen told you? How do you feel about the international side of things right now and going forward? Of course, a big international date coming up, World Cup qualifying getting started.
Yeah, no, it's a tremendous compliment to hear that from him, obviously. And, you know, for me, it's I'm always, you know, just grateful and honored to be part of the national team. And, you know, anytime, you know, Jurgen calls me in, you know, I'm willing to, you know, play and do whatever it takes to represent our country and help support the team in any way possible, you know, and whatever system, whatever style it is, you know, for me, I'm just there to try to help and do the best I can for the team. So, I mean, You know, we'll see. Well, you know, but I'm looking forward right now to DC, obviously, and that's number one priority. And then, you know, after that, you know, I think the focus moves on to whether it's the playoffs and then after that qualifiers. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens with the Revs. I got one more for you before I get you out of here. I just popped through my mind Dom Oduro's hairdo from yesterday, the breast cancer awareness thing. I'm going to pose to you a different sort of MLS Cup playoffs. I'm going to call them the MLS hair playoffs. You're in there. I don't know what yours is called. I've been thinking about switching up mine. I've had like the same haircut for 15 years. A, what's yours? B, who's going to win the MLS hair playoffs? Who's got the best hair game in MLS?
I mean, well, besides me.
Oh, you're there, dude. You're there. You're a top four seed, no doubt. You're getting a bye to the conference semis.
Well, you know, from I just saw Dom's haircut yesterday online, and that's pretty up there.
Yeah, I would struggle for words on that too. Yep.
That was a hard one to compete. So, you know, my hand goes to that right now. you know, I feel like we could fit you in there, though.
You gotta move up your sleeve. Those are hollow words there, man. You haven't seen this thing recently. It's pretty standard. So if I'm going to the barber tonight and I ask for the Lee Win, what's that called? Are they going to know it's the Lee Win, or does this have a name?
Yeah, just call it the MV Lee cut, bro.
All right. MV Lee. Maybe I have to go pick that up tonight, get myself ready for the MLS Cup playoffs. Lee Win, you can follow him on Twitter, LeeWin24. Follow him on Wednesday night. DC United, a big knockout round game to get the playoffs started. Lee, thanks, man. Good luck.
Awesome, Andrew. Always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
Let us know what you think of that Lee Win interview there at Extra Time Radio, extratime@mlssoccer.com. Guys, it's prediction time. What do we have here? Some big games Wednesday. DC, New England, we kind of put it out there. I'm going with the Revs. I think playoff time, they're on the upward tilt, at least in one game. DC, I know I'm going to be wrong about this, and I know I'm going to get some hate mail from DC fans, but I'm going to go Revs. What do you guys got?
I hope even if you're not wrong about this, that you still get hate mail as well, though.
I will.
So
yeah,
that
I definitely will.
That would make me happy. I'm going New England as well. I think that they have difference makers offensively. I think they've been solid defensively, and I don't see any sort of flash from DC. Who's going to carry them is the question. It hasn't been Rolf. It could be a Spindola, and that's really it.
Look, let's just follow the streaks. The Revs lost 5 in the middle of the season. Then they went unbeaten for 8 games. Then they
6 wins
were winless.
In a row, I think. Yeah,
7,
I mean,
7 out of 8 wins. Then they went winless for 4 games, 3 losses.
And now, Lee said it. They're streaky. They're a streaky team.
So now they, you know, look, the NYC win, not a great win, whatever. It's NYC.
Still a road win.
But it's still a road win. But it could start a new streak for them because they're the most
streaky. So are you saying Revs? Is this where we're going with this?
I'm going to go with the Revs.
Okay. He's saying Revs.
So there's zero chance.
DC, hey, look, DC, I think they should jump on the nobody believes in us. You know,
they're already on that.
Screw you guys.
They've been on that for like 3 years.
They need to embrace it even more.
Ben Olsen owns that bus.
Yeah, he does. Are we saying Impact then? Because I'm saying Impact. Yeah. At home with the momentum they have. I like Toronto FC, but I think the run-ins for them after one.
I'm saying the Impact as well.
What are you?
I hate that we're all agreeing with each other.
Simon would go Toronto FC.
Yeah, but I'm not Simon.
Okay.
You gotta Drogba. Like, what? There's no other. I mean, Jovinko is Jovinko, but Drogba is the story.
It's also Simon and Cabrera.
Yeah.
It's a better back line than what TFC has.
Bradley has to have a huge
game. It's a team that has experience earlier this season in knockout
exactly.
phases.
I think that's huge. And it's a team that has, I think, more battle. Outside of their stars, I think they have more quality than TFC does.
There you go. If that's the way it goes down, if Montreal win and the Revs win, Montreal will go face, the Columbus Crew, which is a great matchup there, and the Revs will go face New York.
There isn't,
great as well.
There isn't a single bad game.
No,
I mean, the midweek games look
so
great,
excited.
And that's just the first round. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, hey, a little bit of news for you as well. Remember, Philly beat Orlando 1-0. Well, there's some Philly news to share with you. From this Monday morning, they have signed Ernie Stewart as their new sporting director. He is the director of football at AZ Alkmaar. You might remember he signed a guy named Josie Altidor.
He
still is for another 2 months.
Yeah, Aaron Johansson, also a guy that they brought through that system. So he's a longtime U.S. national teamer, 94 World Cup, 98, 02 World Cup. He's a vet, man. He was also with DC United. This looks like a really good sign.
He won an MLS Cup as a player. He's got a history with Moneyball and analytics and things like that, which I think Philly been smiling about that. Yeah. Philly, I think, was they were attracted to. He really wanted to come back to the U.S. and be a part of growing the game here. He's got that European experience. I think it's a perfect signing.
Yep. Philly fans, the season might be over, but there is a little bit of a bright light on the horizon there. We'll see what happens for you in the offseason and in 2016. Let us know what you think. Do you disagree? How was decision day? We want to know. Get at us at Extra Time Radio, Extra Time at MLSsoccer.com. When we come back to Seattle Sounders, Stephon Fry and the Western Conference Breakdown.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at MLSsoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hi, this is Ethan Finley with the Columbus Crew SC, and you're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time.
Back now on Extra Time Radio.
I thought you weren't going to come in.
I know. I wanted to hear a little bit more. Did a little karaoke this weekend. Had to throw the closing time out there. It is closing time on the MLS season. For eight different
Speaking
teams.
Of closing time, I went and celebrated a little decision day happiness with some people yesterday, and the bartender, like, kicked us out at the end of the night.
That's how you do decision day, right?
I asked
there.
Him.
You
I was
kept
like,
the excitement rolling.
I was like, what time do you stay open until? He's like, oh, like, whenever it slows down. And then
on
he
a
was
Sunday
like,
night.
He's like, it's time to leave now at some point. And we were like, okay.
See ya. See ya. All right, let's talk about the Western Conference here, guys. Stephon Fry, goalkeeper of the Seattle Sounders, coming up in just a little bit to talk about that massive clash with the LA Galaxy. A reminder here, the knockout round out west on Wednesday, Seattle, LA, 10 p.m. Eastern, Unimas, TSN2, and RDS2 on Thursday, also at 10 p.m., the Portland Timbers and Sporting Kansas City at Providence Park. Unimas, once again, hit that SAP button or don't. I like the Spanish side. I learn a few things every game. They're very excitable. That's always fun. TSN 1, 4, and 5. And then local affiliates for both of these in both markets. Of course, the teams with byes, FC Dallas, the Vancouver Whitecaps. Let's start with Dallas, a 2-1 win.
By the way, we did have someone email us asking if they don't have Unimas because they don't have cable, can they watch the games? And you're saying local markets.
Yeah, the local markets have it. There's also TV listings there on MLSsoccer.com. So check with us. You can find all the information there on how to watch. Let's see. Dallas, they came up just short in the Supporters' Shield. Not on points, on goal differential, on tiebreaker. We said this was probably the way it was going to go. A 2-1 win for them against San Jose. A really costly red card to Mateus Perez-Garcia. And this one mean that the Quakes missed the playoffs. Even with the win, it turns out they wouldn't have qualified in this one. So, season over for the Quakes. FC Dallas pushing onto the playoffs as the top overall seed. The Vancouver Whitecaps, the second overall seed. 3-0 winners against Houston. Finally, some goals for the Caps. Kakuta Mane got one in this one. It was a good performance for them. I think Kendall Waston as well, didn't he?
He scores on the last game of the season every
Both
year.
Years.
Yeah, he was my runner-up in the Defender of the Year voting.
The dubious goals panel might want to take a look at that.
Yeah.
One.
Oh, dubious goals panel.
You think
panels.
Jordan Harvey
got,
gets
quickly,
in on it?
Quickly, who's got the better playoff potential between these two, Dallas and Vancouver?
Dallas. I mean,
I wasn't really asking for a hot take there, was I?
No, I mean, obviously not.
I have trepidation about both. I have trepidation about young, creative players in the playoffs because you don't show up on the big stage and it's over. It's one game, it's two games. So I worry about, I worry about Vancouver because of the way they played down the stretch. Mm-hmm. I think they have the talent, but I don't know if they have that mentality.
If you're a Vancouver fan, the thing you're looking at is you had the best record away from home of any team in MLS.
You did.
So that's something that you can hang your hat on.
And something that is really exciting is their first ever home playoff game, which is something I think that fan base deserved. It's a great atmosphere, so that will be fun as well.
BC will be rocking. I mentioned it, the Portland Timbers hosting Sporting Kansas City. They're doing that because they handled business against the Colorado Rapids, something Sporting Kansas City could not do at home in midweek. Darlington Nagbe with two goals. A lot of people are talking about that free kick. It looked to me like just McMath got unsighted on that one, got a little out of sorts. It's a good kick. That header, though. Are you kidding me? The touch on that? Line one, Jurgen Klinsmann, Darlington Nagbe.
You notice once Darlington Nagbe becomes an American and gets his citizenship, now he's playing like an American hero.
You know what he said? He said he did not know that Jurgen had reached out to Caleb Porter. Of course, if you listen to this show, you
radio
heard
breaking Darlington Nagbe's life.
Straight from us.
All caps.
No Diego Valeri in this one.
We should call up Nagby's like barista and be like, hey, what are you going to serve him tomorrow? And then Nagby will tweet, I did not know I was going to get a latte this morning. We knew. Yeah. Extra Time Radio.
Extra Time Radio knew. Nagby or Finley or both for the U.S. national team?
Both. I mean, you got to try him out. I mean, we need some new blood.
Nagby's a guy who you could play in a few different spots as well, depending on what style you're going to play. He can play more central. He possesses the ball. That's what Porter said. So wherever you put him on the field, he's going to link up play. He's going to get the ball moving a little bit more.
It's been an issue for the U.S. Confidence in close quarters.
He's been top two or three in passing accuracy, both in the full field and in the final third, since Porter came in, basically.
There were some tough times for Portland this year. There were some times when people were saying, oh, this might be going downhill for Caleb Porter. It's turned around, and now they're – no, you don't agree? You don't think nobody was ever saying that, Ben?
No. It was all good.
Okay. I just saw the sour face here.
Here's a worry, though. Chara limping off in this game.
Yeah.
We said it. They played it a little bit different this time. They played two holding mids rather than just him alone.
Without Valeri.
Exactly. But he was the linchpin. Will Johnson's not 100%.
He's not going to play.
So that's a worry, I think, for this team. Can Jack Jewsbury and Fachive, Fochive.
I was going to say Fochive probably fill in there. He can cover more ground than Jewsbury can at his advanced age also.
But can he do it by himself, or do you have to play
a Fochive? I think you have to go back. Double pivot.
Nah, I think you can go back to Nagby and Valeri. Nagby likes to heel track back. He'll play the number eight, basically. Valeri's up there. I mean, they both do a lot of work. It worked out well. I mean, it was fine against the Galaxy.
Right, but Chara was in that game.
Yeah, but I'm saying Fochive can cover that ground. He's not going to be as good on the ball, but he can cover the ground defensively that Chara can.
Look, they definitely need Diego Chara for these games. They've got a big match coming up, but no, there's no doubt about it.
That way to correct our pronunciation. Yeah.
Games, I think, is that's not accurate. It's a game right now. It's one game on Thursday, 10 p.m., Unimas, TSN 145, Portland. Sporting Kansas City. Sporting Kansas City is here because they beat L.A. at home. L.A.'s road struggles continue there. Dom Dwyer with a beautiful goal. This was basically a carbon copy of that goal against the Dynamo you remember from the conference finals a couple of years back. Now, I mean, maybe I'm just misinterpreting your faces here, Ben. I thought you were disagreeing wholeheartedly.
I'm just over here making faces. Don't worry about it. I'm just trying to throw you off.
That's just what Bears do, all right?
That's just what Bears do.
You have a very developed sense of smell, so anything that gets through these walls.
That goal reminded me of the goal in the conference finals. It also reminded me of the goal against the Red Bulls in the knockout round game last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a little more open field, but it was very similar.
Benny gets the ball, basically. He has that little burst. I think that, for me, is often what differentiates the okay to the really good playmakers in this league.
Benny,
if you have
up.
That little burst to get away from people and set up the pass in this league with the athleticism guys have, that's really key. And then Dom Dwyer, you put it on his left foot, he's going to finish.
Benny coming off the bench in this one.
Yeah, that's what we really should be talking about. He said he wasn't happy, and Peter Ramey said he didn't think he had 90 minutes in him. The gambit paid off. I can almost see this from Vermees being a little bit of a motivational ploy before they hit the playoffs, lighting a little bit of a fire under what is, I think, their best player. Does that make sense? Is this a time to do that, though?
I mean, this was a
must. It worked out, didn't it?
It worked out, but this was they were down. It was 1-1 there for a while. They were out of the playoffs there for a second. I mean, if you're looking back, if they missed the playoffs, you have to pin it on him being benched for the first half.
It was a very Jurgen Klinsmann-like move.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, it was very like Jurgen Josie. I think also he's looking at it, and yes, they would have been out. So they couldn't relax, but they win that game. That's three. That's a playoff game, right?
Right. And Jimmy, Kevin Ellis had a goal in this game that was very clearly offside. I mean, very, right. Very clearly
clear
offside.
But they're playing three playoff games in 1 week, basically. Right. If they can get a win, then they go to midweek.
He's only going to get 2 days off in between. Let's say they do win in Portland.
Right.
Which, who knows? But
seems unlikely right now.
Seems unlikely. Only 2 days off between that knockaround game and then home on Sunday. You have to fly back from Portland to SKC.
That could be a big storyline ahead of these games. If Wednesday teams have more rest and they come in against versus the Thursday teams against the top seeds, that could make a difference.
Which incentivizes being a higher seed even more, which is the way
it should be. It matters for sure. Seattle not a higher seed in this one, but they will host a playoff game against the LA Galaxy. 3-1 winners against RSL. Clint Dempsey going off. Martin's having a nice game for himself as well. Marco Papa with a goal. You knew how much potential this team had for so long, though. They hadn't been showing it. But Chad Barrett said it. This was the matchup everybody really, really wanted, right? This is the juiciest of
it's
the knockout round.
It's delicious because it's at CenturyLink. And it just feels like LA always gets them on away goals, and now it's a one-game playoff. So they can't do that.
Always?
It just feels that way. That might be in my head.
This is the first time we've had it. Last year was the first time we had away goals.
LA gets past them in the playoffs.
They dominate at home. That's what I meant to say. Sorry. Yes. So now they have this one-game opportunity. I think everyone still thought LA was MLS Cup finalists.
Up until a couple weeks ago.
Exactly.
Do they play them? Should they play them? I mean,
they have to play them. They're playing them.
in a different world where Bruce maybe puts him on the bench, is it? People are talking about that being a weak spot for him.
Right now. I mean, who you put? I mean, let's say hypothetically they bench Gerard. Who are they putting in there? Husidic, maybe?
Varinen.
It's not as.
It's not a no brainer, is what you're saying.
Exactly. It's not. You don't have Sarva sitting on the bench.
Right.
So that's not a thing.
Well, the Seattle Sounders, they'll feel good at home. Stefan Frey will be in goal. He was there last year, Dave, for that one against LA. We'll see what he thinks about it now. Stefan, what's up, man?
Good. It's good to be in the playoffs. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, I have to imagine it's good to be in the playoffs. This was kind of one of those things, decision day. I have to admit, I was kind of a Scrooge about it. I didn't know if it was going to be as cool as it was. And then at least on the fan side, it was awesome. On the journalist side, it was awesome. For you guys, I have to imagine a little bit more stressful. Take me through this. When the day started, you guys didn't have a playoff spot. You finished with one, but there had to be some stress there.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. At first, when the whole hash mark decision day came out, I was on the fence. But I think for the league, it was probably a success. For us as players, we had it in our own hands. So that was a good thing. We were at home as well. And we pretty much had a full squad to pick from. So with that being said, I think I fancied our chances. But with that, at the same token, we didn't really know where we'd end up. You know, the West was still so open. You could end up at second or at sixth. So obviously that's a big difference. But I'm happy that we were able to win, and now obviously are able to host the next game.
For you as a player, for the team, was there anything different than a normal game day? Were you guys watching games before you went out on the field? Were you getting notifications of other scores while you were out there? Something that going on with decision day?
Not that it would pertain to us, but I mean, we always have some TVs on in the locker room, and obviously there were some of the Eastern Conference games were on, but other than that, we were just kind of trying to go through a routine and preparing ourselves for the game. And like I said, we knew we had it in our own hands. I think we wanted to make sure that we would take care of business, and then we would see who we would face after that.
Wasn't a whole lot of time to figure that out. Clint Dempsey with a couple big goals in this one. You guys jump out immediately. That had to feel good. And you're a guy who's played in Toronto. Now you've played in Seattle. Both of these markets are maybe on the top end in MLS as far as the pressure that comes from the fans, the media, from the clubs themselves. How much pressure did you guys feel ahead of this match? I know that you had it in your hands and all you had to do was get the result, but there was a scenario where maybe you might not make it. That would have been a disaster.
Yeah, it would have been. I think it would have been a disaster because if you look at the squad we have, I mean – we have that quality, and then it really shouldn't have gotten even that close to us making the playoffs. We should have been in a long time ago, if you ask me. Obviously, we had that tough spell in the middle of the season. But, I think we have enough quality in the locker room that we're serious contenders for the trophy at the end. So, at the same token, I think I remember when I switched from Toronto to Seattle, I think the fans have been a bit spoiled here, and I hope they don't get on my back about this. But Seattle's been very, very successful throughout its time in MLS. You know, I mean, we've won a Supporters Shield last year. We've made the playoffs, I think, for pretty much every year. And then you also have the Open Cup wins. So overall, a very, very successful franchise, and obviously very happy that we're able to continue that trend.
Of course, Toronto FC getting in the playoffs, too, for the first time ever. The Seattle Sounders are going to host the LA Galaxy on Wednesday, 10 p.m., Unimas. It's SAP if you want to watch in English, of course, TSN and RDS2. Stefan, you kind of mentioned it there, that slow part in the middle of the season, and you look at the squad that's been assembled up there in Seattle. You guys have the horses to have gotten many more points than you did. and maybe this is just my viewpoint, but throughout the season, I never really knew what to expect. I never knew what kind of team was going to come out, really, what kind of performance there was going to be, all these absences, injuries. Did you feel that too? Why was that this year? Why the lack of consistency?
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, we are an offensive minded team, and you know, when you're missing your two most offensive weapons in Clint and Oba, it does kind of change things for you, you know, and obviously I think, the energy they bring, Oba especially, you know, he's a workhorse, and when we were missing him for, I mean, it was two months plus, and then obviously Clint was injured and also gone with national team. It just made it difficult, but with that being said, I think we had some unfortunate losses, ties that turned into losses, you know, where we would get scored on in the last 10 minutes, or wins where we turn them into ties in the last 10 minutes. Now, retrospectively looking at that, obviously it hurts because I think we, you know, 1 point, 2 points more here or there. Who knows if we would have been higher or not, but I think every team in the whole league is probably saying that, right? That it just shows you, you know, at the points in the beginning of the season, matter just as much as the ones at the end. But again, just happy to be in the playoffs at this point.
Now you're going to step out on the field. You're going to host the LA Galaxy. What about this team is different from last year that you guys are going to be able to be victorious against the Galaxy?
We have a good squad. Like I said, I think I believe in our guys we have on the squad, and if we can impose our play style on them just the same way as we did in the first 10-15 minutes against Salt Lake, then I fancy our chances. You know, LA in the past has had success against us, pressuring us high and forcing some turnovers. And I think if that happens again, then we need to maybe dump the ball behind them and see if we can get something on their end. And that obviously will open up the space again for us to play through the middle. Again, we have all the quality we need to be successful against LA. It's just a matter of bringing it all together and putting in a good performance on Wednesday.
And is there any – I mean, of course it had to be LA with you guys, right? Every single year it feels like it's LA. Is there a mental block there, or is this the team that you wanted to play?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at some point you're going to have to – if you want to go all the way, you're going to have to go through the toughest teams. And whether it's in the beginning or not, I think L.A. is one of the tougher teams. But it's not like we're upset about that. They've kind of had our number for the past couple of the times we've met. So I think we owe them one. So it would go a long way if when we beat them on Wednesday. I think that would help our confidence again. And hopefully propel us into the playoffs, or well into the end of the playoffs, to try to make a run for that trophy.
When we beat them on Wednesday, Sounders fans are going to like that right there. Stefan, we did like a poll on our site a little while back. We asked fans, you know, what are the best rivalries in MLS? And you had all the traditional ones. You had the 401 Derby. You had, you know, the Atlantic Cup, things of that nature. I don't know if this was Seattle fan stuff in the ballot box. They have a tendency to do that. They said that LA-Seattle was right up there, and it's not a traditional rivalry, so to speak. Do you guys feel that as players? Is there something extra special about these games? Are these two teams, you know, I know the whole phrase of don't like each other. I know that's overused, but is this a rivalry for the players? I mean, it seems that way for the fans, at least.
Yeah, you know, I think when it comes to the don't like each other, I would say that's more with us in Portland. But with LA, I think it's just, if you ask me personally, my opinion is that, you know, Seattle's been one of the better teams throughout its time in MLS, and obviously so has LA. So they've always been contenders at the top of the Western Conference, and obviously that kind of creates that rivalry a little bit. And like I said before, they've had our numbers for the past couple of times we met, so... obviously, fans want us to exact some revenge on their behalf, and that's kind of like how rivalries are created, right? So it's just like any other game for me. It's a tough opponent, but it would sure feel sweet to win on Wednesday. That's for sure.
Everyone, of course, with Seattle, we know Dempsey, we know Martins, you yourself and goal are all important. Who's a guy that, if the Seattle Sounders make an MLS Cup run, will be an X factor, or will be a guy that you think's maybe peaking that you'll look at and say, he was a big difference maker, he's a guy that maybe carried them?
I think if, you know, when Nelson comes back in, the energy that he can bring, obviously he's exceptional in air, and we do get good service now, especially with Andreas on the field as well. I think that that energy that Nelson can bring for us and work rates and also possibly some goals, that could be the X factor for us.
There you go. Need an X factor. Need to get that win first on Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Unimas, TSN2, RDS2, the Seattle Sounders hosting the LA Galaxy, a massive Audi MLS Cup playoffs clash. Stefan Fry in goal. Stefan, thank you so much for joining us, man. Good luck going forward, all right?
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Big thanks to Stefan Fry for taking a second with us. Spoiled, he says, Seattle fans. Let us know what you think.
You would pick out that one line and say it again.
Of course I did. Of course I did. Extra Time Radio, Extra Time at MLSsoccer.com. When we come back, we're going to the mailbag, and we have an extra special guest. And by special, I mean unwanted.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at MLSsoccer.com. Or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back now on Extra Time Radio here for the mailbag. Decision day has passed, but we have a special treat. Is this even better than having 10 soccer games on at the same time? Jason Seguini, with chocolate cold brew in hand, hipster moment of the day, sitting here for the mailbag.
That's basically just chocolate milk, right?
It definitely tastes like chocolate milk, but there's a kick to it that like keeps you energized throughout the day.
Yeah, that's for fathers. That's certainly for fathers. They're used to like getting that little skim off the top, the chocolate milk from their kiddies, and they come in.
It's for fathers who got home at 1 o'clock last night after decision day, and then whose daughters decided that they were going to wake up like intermittently every 30 to 45 minutes. It was a nightmare. So
hashtag single life. I got eight hours last night. I woke up, drank some coffee alone.
Nobody. Now, do they know that MLS playoffs are coming and it's like not a good time to wake up?
They're not aware of that sort of stuff.
So that
one of them is less than a month.
Okay,
old.
We'll get to the mailbag here.
They need to be made aware.
The reason I agreed to have Jason, he calls it his farewell, but you know we might pull him in from time to time, is because he had a good bet apparently for you and I. I'm a Royals fan. You're a Mets fan.
Let's go Mets.
World Series about to start. Take the crown.
You know, somebody told me that baseball was happening. Yeah. I had no idea.
What's the bet?
I thought it would be a good idea for the loser of the bet.
David.
To have to write, essentially take a song about the other person's city and rewrite the lyrics to it and sing it on the podcast.
Okay.
Get some creativity in there.
I don't know how many Kansas City songs are out there.
There's got to be at least one.
It doesn't
one,
really
right?
matter.
Well, can't I just
take
any random song and re- No, I will
I,
have.
I guess so.
Yeah, you're right. I won't have to do this.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Because we're going to win.
No.
The loser has to do it.
Yeah,
wow, Andrew, you can't even smack talk.
I know. Get to the soccer.
Can it be any song? Can it just be like, oh, like this is a good song?
Sure. I mean, are you really like I show up here once every 10 years and you're going to.
You're going to grill him on this? Yeah, like Extra Time Radio, extratimeradio.com if you want to send us a song.
I thought you were a professional.
If you want to like help me out with this, Kansas City fans, I know you're out there. Let's get to the mail. What are people saying?
Email here, question. Based on what we've seen this season, which of the playoff teams, because we're already looking ahead, will drop out next year, and which teams will take their place?
That is a good question.
So let's get one on either side. Let's try a West and East.
I'm gonna say DC United fall out, and DC United fans, once again, I welcome and appreciate your input and hate mail. I just think that another year older, I just don't see it going again. Everybody else is going to get stronger out East. You're looking at all these teams trying to make moves. And a lot of the young cores that you're going to have to compete with.
Yeah, you took my answer. I mean, DC United was the team that I didn't have in the playoff predictions at the beginning of the year, and I don't really see them as like a team that's got upward trajectory.
The West is harder, though.
But replacing them, I mean, I could see Orlando needs to figure some things out. They need to figure out how to use Kaká, but I could see Orlando. I could also see Philadelphia if they – get a couple of the right pieces in there. They brought some guys in, and they get consistent goal scoring from either Sabang or Aristeguieta, or potentially another forward.
What about the West?
Those are the teams that bumped in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm Philly, though.
And out west? No, you guys out west. I mean, which of the teams?
Oh, so you don't have an answer, huh?
Me? It's not my job.
It's hard in the West.
Oh, I have answers when I host.
Yeah, but you're
shirking your duties. I see how it is.
No, you're overexpanding your role.
Oh, okay.
Is the issue?
Okay, I'm ambitious. What? You got one here? Because I'm looking. You know, maybe the Sounders, if
Sporting, it's going to come, they have to be, they have to have the right people healthy throughout the year. I could see Sporting going into Champions League, slipping up, maybe not making
it
in
the
competitive Western Conference. Of course, you know, Aiko Parra probably not going to be healthy for 34 games next season plus Champions League. So,
I think the issue in saying that, though, is Sporting's the one team that really isn't going to lose anyone. They don't have guys that are going to leave to go overseas or anything like that are big pieces.
But also remember, I mean, the offseason brings big changes.
Right. Yeah, I thought you had had a standard role here.
Yeah, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate as we
team that goes
along.
In the Western Conference out of all the teams, Houston, RSL, San Jose, or Colorado?
I think San Jose has a base. I think they have a good piece of what they want to do and how they can be successful.
Quincy Ameriquá is going to bring that beast mode that he brought on Matt Hedges next season.
He's got a little bit of that Charlie Davies, pre-injury Charlie Davies, where he's impossible to deal with, and he's got that low center of gravity.
He's Dom Dwyer.
Yeah.
He is Dom Dwyer.
He is. Okay. What else we got here?
Real quick, Columbus fan says with their two biggest offensive threats out, they just played their best game, he's saying, in the last 10 years. They're peaking at the perfect time. Jason, is Columbus going to win this MLS Cup?
Well, you know, the weird thing is, if that was peaking, then they're going to go into their next game and they're going to change it because they're going to put Kamara and they're going to put Higuain in, right? So
they don't have to.
They have to.
Come on. Is that team peaking with those guys? I mean, look, I think Columbus is super dangerous. They have a lot of weapons in the attacking end. For me, the questions would be more on the defensive end. And when you get into the playoffs, you play those tight games. Look, Kamara set pieces make the difference in the playoffs. Kamara has, you know, plenty to give.
He's unrivaled, really, in that category.
Yeah, and you have a great service coming in from Higuain. So Columbus can play with anyone in the playoffs.
I think you're right. I think it's the back line and it's midfield. What will we see from Will Trapp? What will we see from Tony Chani? And then what will we see from Gaston Saro? Because it's been an iffy place all year long, center back for them. Michael Parkhurst has been the constant, but hasn't had his best season. I think he would admit that as well. And then it's Pogatetz or Wall, and now it's Saro. And I'm just not sure they've figured it out there if they have the chemistry yet.
When you get into the playoffs, weather gets cold, guys pick up little injuries, you end up with a second-line guy here, a second-line guy there. Who has those guys who can come off the bench and make an impact? And the Crew have a couple of them, but not necessarily on the defensive side.
Yeah, Drogba, thinking about those two back there. He's going to bully everybody. Who am I kidding?
Brendan Wood-Taylor emailed us in. He said, first of all, MLS fan for 15 years. Decision Day is one of the better fan experiences he ever had. Three screens going, TV, iPad, iPhone. He says, excited to see all three Cascadia rivals and all three Canadian rivals in the playoffs at the same time. He says, just for fun, Timbers hosting Montreal Impact in the MLS Cup final.
I just threw up.
Man, that's terrible.
No, I didn't. My stomach is very settled, but I just put up on the wall here, we had our predictions with, you know, and I went very quickly through it. But that's what I came out with, was Portland, Montreal. I think that'd be a lot of fun at Providence Park.
Real quick, what's your MLS
I did
Cup
not
final?
Fill out my bracket, but if you were going with the two hottest teams going to the playoffs, I definitely think that's an option.
We were going to go with who are you picking?
I didn't do it yet. Okay. I don't think I'm going to get Montreal all the way to the final. I do think they'll win at home to Toronto. Who's going to come out of the East? I could see Portland coming out of the West. I think that's not bad. But I had... When I predicted at the beginning of the season, I had Dallas winning MLS Cup and Vancouver winning Supporters Shield. So maybe I flip-flopped that. Still seems like
typical,
a pretty good pick.
Typical
Vancouver
Cigini.
Makes it to the final, so I still represent Canada in the final against the Red Bulls.
If I claimed so much credit for some of my picks, I'd make fun of you.
Here's
you want my other one? I also predicted all three Canadian teams in the playoffs.
Here's my one little answer that I'll give you while I'm hosting. I put up my bracket. I had New York beating Vancouver at home.
Oh,
the moment I wrote it down, I realized if it gets there, Vancouver's a great matchup, and they've already won at Red Bull Arena. They probably would actually win that game because they're so good in transition, but that's my pick.
That's why
they're also terrible on the road. Vancouver is not that good on the road.
They already won in New York this season. Why? Because what's the one thing New York struggles with?
Speed
wingers in transition.
During the summer.
Kakuta Mane, during the summer, during the winter, whatever. We are into the fall months. It's Audi MLS Cup playoff time. That is all we have here for this show. Big thanks to Jason Cigini. You'll never hear from him again.
No, never.
I'm just kidding. Thanks to our guests as well, Lee Wynn, Stefan Fry. A little programming note before we get out, actually. No show on Thursday night after the knockout rounds. We want to let those marinate. We'll get back together on Friday morning and figure it all out and share our thoughts with you. All your thoughts, you know where to send them, at Extra Time Radio, extratime@mlssoccer.com. We'll see you then.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.